Good morning, and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Sandra Barrett, and on behalf of University College of Syracuse University, it's my pleasure to welcome you here this morning on what I guess is for many the first day of spring break. And we do have a little bit of spring with us today. You know, I've been fighting a cold, and so I haven't been shaking people's hands for the last few days. And so I decided that, you know, this, I don't know if there's an international signal for I have a cold, so I'm not shaking your hand, but it's kind of holding my hand to my chest. But Jason this morning showed me another one, which was the elbow bump, you know, so you stick out your elbow. So that's my new international signal. Thank you for that. Jason. So next week, I just wanted to give you a heads up or a reminder. We'll be speaking with Frank Kablitsky, who is the executive director of Centro. Centro's been in the news a lot lately, needless to say, about budget issues. The state budget has just been passed, but I don't know that Centro is quite sure yet what's going to happen. But aside from that, there are a lot of other community issues and aspects to our transportation system. So I'm sure that you will have some questions for Mr. Kablitsky as he, what could be his last visit here, because he will be retiring at the end of the year, I read. So that is next week. It's also tied in to the next Onondaga Citizens League study, which is going to be getting started in the next month or so, right, co-chair Heidi Holtz? Anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that later. We're still finishing up the last one. Anyway, as you know, over the last 4 weeks of March, we've been noting the 50th anniversary of Thursday Morning Roundtable, talking about some social, economic, political issues that were spoken of 50 years ago also. Today we're going to take a little bit of a break from that, although I think you could make the argument that when we talk baseball, we're talking social, political, economic issues as well. But a few things, though. Looking back 50 years, the Syracuse Chiefs were with us. They've been around. Well, Jason will tell us about that since the 30s, actually. We're celebrating, though, their fourth anniversary as a community baseball team in 1965. Anybody know what team they were affiliated with back in 1965? No. Mm-mm. But good guess. Toronto. No, not Toronto. One more guess. Oh, very good. Who said that? You get the prize, Mike. Detroit Tigers. Very good. Yep. So they were. Yep. Well, anyway, today I'm very happy that we have with us Jason Smorrow, who's the general manager of the Syracuse Chiefs. We're just 1 week out from the season opener on April 9th
in Scranton.
Home opener in 2 weeks, April 16th, and I'm sure Jason will remind us of that also. Home opener in 2 weeks. Now, interestingly, last year the home opener was on April 3rd. Today's April 2nd. What was the weather on April 3rd, 2014? Anybody remember? Anybody there?
46 degrees.
Yep. Nice brisk. Mm-hmm. Good. All right. It was kind of nice. Right. So anyway, let's get ready to talk baseball with Jason Smorrow. Mr. Smorrow received his bachelor's degree from SUNY Fredonia and a master's in sports science in Mobile, Alabama. He started his career in baseball in 93 with the Watertown Indians. Later, he was named the assistant general manager, then the general manager with the Batavia Muck Dogs. He worked with the Staten Island Yankees in the Auburn Doubledays, and he taught sports management in SUNY Cortland. He left baseball in 2004, but then came back in 2013 to work with the Syracuse Chiefs to help direct positive change and turn around baseball in Syracuse. Welcome, Jason Smorrow.
Thank you very much. It is an honor to be able to come out and speak about the Syracuse Chiefs. You give me a microphone in a room and I will speak the Chiefs till a hair falls out of my head and I need glasses. Back when I worked at the Watertown Indians, I had an afro and no glasses. And after 10 years in baseball, and I couldn't see the scoreboard anymore, and I was bald, and I have my glasses, it's still a fantastic game, and I love to do it. So thank you so much for having me here to talk about the Syracuse Chiefs. They're going to open up April 16th at NBT Bank Stadium, 2 o'clock. I hope everybody skips work and takes their kids out of school, and this whole refuse movement of taking state tests works out fantastic. And we go back to the old school days when they would let the kids just leave school and go to opening day, which I think is a fantastic idea. But I don't see us going back to those days anytime soon. But opening day is here. It's springtime. The big ball of yellowness in the sky apparently is going to come back, and it's Easter time, and it's rebirth, and the crocuses are going to come up, and the Syracuse Chiefs are back in town. And that's what, thank you, that is what means that spring has sprung, and we are going to celebrate spring. The Syracuse Chiefs are going to celebrate spring, and we're going to stay positive, and we're going to usher that in to a fantastic summer. And the Syracuse Chiefs have been doing that since, such a pish-posh, mishmash of history, since apparently 1934. But they've been playing baseball in Syracuse since 1845, when they had to kick it out of Hanover Square because there were so many people down there, and they kicked them over to the north side somewhere. I don't know. I think it's over the west side, to Star Park area, and they were the Syracuse Stars. Syracuse Chiefs have been around so long that this past year we celebrated our 100th year in the International League. They've been around so long that 25 years before last year, we celebrated our 125th year in the International League. They're like, Bill Dutch is like, you know, it's the 100th year. I'm like, I'm looking at a baseball here that says 1985, 125th year. He's like, but this is the 100th year. So next year, we'll be celebrating our 275th year in the 137-year-old International League of Professional Baseball. But there's history, and the Syracuse Chiefs, the Syracuse Stars, the Syracuse Chiefs, the Syracuse Sky Chiefs, back to being the Chiefs, have been around for an awful long part of that and has an interesting history here in the city of Syracuse in Central New York. How many owners of the Syracuse Chiefs are in the room right here? Come on, there's one, me, there you go. So there's three owners. I have a share of the Syracuse Chiefs. My father, savvy investor, bought one share of the Syracuse Chiefs in 1967 for $10. And I'm sorry? That's what they were, yeah. They're worth $10 after all these years. And I find out more and more about the history of the Chiefs. And it was in 61 is when they made the change. Don Waffle was telling me the story the other day. About Mayor Henniger and Tom Higgins and, of course, Tex Simone and a bunch of other people. And there was an owner, and he was going to sell the team to somebody in Miami, and he did sell the team to somebody in Miami after they had a deal. Don Waffle had a deal with a guy, and the guy said, I'm going to sell the team to Miami. And they all got in their airplanes and smoked cigarettes and flew to Miami and took the team down there. So in 1961, they said, this is no good. These owners come and they take their teams, and you know, sounds a lot different than sports teams today. They take their teams, they move them to other cities. We want this to stay here. Baseball was king. And they got a group of people together and they sold shares to the Community Baseball Club of Central New York. $10 shares. We have 4,055 owners. Three of them are in this room. 80% of those owners own one share. So there is, it's a hard kind of way to run a team because, and I'm probably 68% of those people, you know, aren't with us anymore, but we've got to find all of our shareholders. But we have an interesting team. We have 4,055 owners. And that started in 1961. There was a huge influx of shares sold in 1961 and a huge influx of shares sold in 1967. And that is what, in essence, became the Syracuse Chiefs. And the story, you know, and the nice thing about us is I don't speak outside of school because all of our news is in the newspaper, including our financial report. And you think about 1961 when Tex Simone was the groundskeeper, and then he became the trainer, and then by 1967 he was the business manager, and by 1969, the year I was born, he was the general manager, and for 40 years on, the Chiefs became the Chiefs. And that's when I grew up with the Chiefs and would go to shareholders night with my dad. And when I was at high school at Bishop Grimes, me and my buddies would go and watch the Blue Jays at that point. And to now, I'm running the Syracuse Chiefs and my little girls are going to games. And it's our job, my job, the board of directors' job, your job, to make sure that the Syracuse Chiefs stay in this community, because we're back in the same spot. History repeats itself all the time. And the reason that I'm standing here, I was minding my own business, walking around. I got out of baseball. We had little kids, and I needed a real job. So my wife told me that I couldn't work in baseball anymore. And I went and got a real job, and I was minding my own business, enjoying life, selling construction stuff, and going up and down New York State, and enjoying my summers at the St. Lawrence River, and watching from afar, go to some Auburn Double Days baseball games, and watching from afar what was going on with the Syracuse Chiefs. And I'm reading the newspaper, and I see trouble with Tex and the management team, and I see pictures of Bill Dutch and Paul Solomon and Joe Janowski with all the hubbub that was going on with the Syracuse Chiefs. And I said, oh, geez, something's going on over the Chiefs. Too bad. Chiefs are awesome. Baseball's great. And I said, I'm there doing my work one night on my little computer, and I get a Facebook request friend from Bill Dutch. I hadn't seen him in 10 years. I met him once in 10 years ago. He's the president of the Syracuse Chiefs. And he requested my friendship on Facebook. And then my wife came up the stairs and she goes, there's a guy named Bill Dutch on the phone for you. I was like, isn't this strange? Hello, Bill Dutch. What's going on? And he said, how would you like to be the general manager of the Syracuse Chiefs? And I said, honey, can I be the general manager of the Syracuse Chiefs? And she said, what does that mean? She goes, it means we can't go to camp anymore and you're never going to see me again. She said, it means you can't go to camp anymore and I'm never going to see you again. Yes, you can be the general manager of the Syracuse Chiefs. I said, I'm interested. So we had an interview the next day and brought me in, and they laid out what was going on. And again, this stuff is in the newspaper. I'm not telling stories out of school. In 2013, it ended up, at the time that I was speaking to the group of people that wanted to help save the Chiefs, it was thought that the Chiefs were going to lose $500,000. And a group of individuals called Chiefs First, led by Bill Dutch and Paul Solomon and Joe Janowski and some others, decided that they were going to put some money together, because you can't go to the 4,055 owners. Can I have $1 million, sir? No. We can't go to our owners and ask for an influx of cash. So these guys got together and put a proposal out to invest in the team, loan the team money to get it over the hump, as it were. And then another group came forward with $1 million, an investor from Toronto, came forward with $1 million investment opportunity for the Syracuse Chiefs. And they had a board meeting and over the weekend, and it pretty much came down to it, is that Chiefs First said, we will write on a piece of paper that the Syracuse Chiefs will remain in the city of Syracuse in central New York. And the other guys said, yeah, sure, we're going to keep the Chiefs in Syracuse. We're just not going to write it on a piece of paper. So they had $1 million offer. They had $500,000 offer. The board of directors, thinking at the time that they lost $500,000, said, we'll take the $500,000, and we're going to keep the Chiefs here in Syracuse. Changes are going to be made, and we're going to save baseball in Syracuse, New York, once again. And then the financial statement came out in November. We lost $1 million. So we lost $1 million. We didn't have any money. We don't have any owners that have any money. The guys that invested the money are like, well, we don't have any more money, so what are we going to do? And what we're going to do is save baseball in Syracuse, New York, save baseball in Central New York, and we're going to do it the old-fashioned way. We're going to roll up our sleeves, and we're going to focus on what we do best. We're going to face the brutal truths every day. These are my speeches when I go out. We face the brutal truths. We're going to make good business decisions. I had to have a conversation yesterday. Why don't you let people in with free tickets and give the kids free hot dogs and sodas anymore? I was like, because we lost $1 million. It's a very simple equation. How many times do you get to go to the Dome for free, and when you walk in there, they give you a free hot dog and a free soda? He goes, well, that's not the point. I said, how many times when you go to McDonald's do they give you a free burger? He said, that's not the point. I said, how many times when you go to Syracuse Crunch, they give you a free ticket and a free hot dog, and you can sit wherever you want? He goes, that's not my point. I go, that's my point. We are worth $5. We're worth the best seat in the house. You can sit where that man is sitting. Home plate is there. He can be hit in the head with a ball in a fraction of a second, all for the low, low price of $12. If he's a senior, it's $10. If he wants to be safe, he can sit behind the net. It's the same $10. If you want to pay $5, you can pay $5. We're worth it. But we have to make ourselves worth it. The onus isn't on the community. The onus is on the Chiefs. We have no control over the weather. It will be 46 degrees on opening day. And that will be considered a good opening day. Hopefully, the extended forecast, which is always right, says it's going to be 62 degrees on April 16th. Last year on April 16th, it was 38 degrees. So you take what you get. We can't control the weather. More than likely, it will be drizzling rain and gray. Last year, on a 46-degree day with drizzling rain, we had 6,600 people because we made some effort and we asked people to come and we said things are going to be different. It's going to be fun. We've got on-field games. We've got an unleashed video board, and we're about the fans. And 6,600 people came, and there were huge lines to get in. The county executive was late for her speech to on the field, and she said that was the greatest thing at a Chiefs game. I've been coming to Chiefs games, and I finally had to wait in line to get in. And I'm sorry I'm late, but that's a good problem to have because people are coming out to support the Syracuse Chiefs. And there was many nights last year where there was lines to get in, and that is what we need to do. We need to make our product worthwhile. We need to make our product relevant. The consumer is going to decide if we are worth $5. The consumer is going to decide if we're worth $1 on a Thursday for a hot dog and a Coke. And this year, the tragedy of all tragedies, we have to sell beer for $2. A woman at the Crunch game, she saw me, she said, you're that Syracuse Chiefs guy. I said, yes, I am the Syracuse Chiefs guy. And I had my beer with me and was watching the game, and she was had her beer with her. And she said, you're going to charge $2 for beer this year. I said, ma'am, you're holding a $7 beer. She said, that's a good point. At a Silver Knights game, the guy said to me, he says, you're the Chiefs guy. I said, yeah. He goes, we like coming to games, but you charge too much for parking. I said, how much did you pay for parking tonight, sir? He's like, $7. I was like, we're only $5. I did want free parking, but Bill Dutch talked me out of that. Greatest move of his life. Parking's kind of an important revenue stream for us. So we are the most economically dollar value sports entertainment option in town. The Syracuse Chiefs, I can proudly say, are the number two. I don't know. I need to do a better job of explaining this, but we have the second most amount of attendance and people for a sporting event, entertainment event in the city of Syracuse. The basketball team's number one. The Chiefs are number two. Then it's the football team and the Crunch and all that stuff. And we're a sleeping giant. We could beat the basketball team. We've got 72 games to do it, and 38 of those are over 70 degrees. And we've got 11,212 seats, and we've got a parking lot right out front. You don't even have to walk uphill in the middle of a snowstorm to get to us. It's generally nice in spring and summer. And we have engagement with our fans, and we've got Jimmy Durkin at the top of the stairs selling $1 programs. And the kids are free on Sundays, and they get to go out in the field and run the bases. And we brought back all the on-field games, and you can go out there and put a pedometer on your head and shake your head at the NBT Bank Human Bobblehead Game and see if you could win the grand prize of a water bottle. And we shoot T-shirts into the crowd, and we shoot hot dogs into the crowd, and we dance on the dugouts, and we dance in the concourse, and whatever we bring in, the superstars. Last year, we brought in monkeys that rode dogs that herded sheep on the field during the game. They're coming back. We've got the superstars. They're inflatable people. Clammy Sosa ate a referee, an umpire last year, and spit out his uniform on the field. We've got Reggie the Purple Party Dude. We're bringing in the Washington Nationals racing presidents. We are bringing in Mini Kiss. They're little people that dress up like the rock band Kiss for a concourse concert. Fridays, there's going to be live music on the concourse. Don Waffle wanted us to have big band night at the ballpark. I said, Don Waffle, we're going to have big band night at the ballpark. Why not? I take a look at our audience. The guy's upstairs in a day game in April, and he's rocking out with heavy metal and top 40. I went up there. I said, would you go out and take a look at our audience? I said, just mix in a little Frank Sinatra. It's a day game, and everybody out there is at least 62 years old. I don't even know half the songs you're playing. So the guy's like, we played a little doo-wop one night. Everybody's like, this is great. You know, so we'll try anything, and everything is a good idea, and we can't be everything to everybody, but we offer options, and that's what we have to do. And I think it's working. I'm sorry, Walt asked me how we were doing before. Well, it's in the newspaper, so I don't mind telling everybody. We're the only private company in Central New York that puts its financial report in the newspaper. I don't know why we do that. But we do. So in 2013, the team lost $1 million. Last year, after all of our crazy antics and just being as weird as humanly possible with pink cows and pizza slices and hot dogs running around the field, we only lost $242,000. And that somehow was a fantastic job. So we're going in the right direction. We knew it wasn't going to be a one-year fix, but it's turning around. And is it going to be a two-year fix? Well, I certainly hope so, because, again, we don't have any owners or we don't have a bunch of money, but there's people that are getting on board, and that's what I ask everybody to do. We're the Choo-Choo Chiefs now. We used to be the Indian Chiefs, and then we became the Sky Chiefs, and then nobody liked the Sky Chiefs, and everyone just called us the Chiefs anyway. So now we're the Choo-Choo Chiefs, and we have a train over there. And we've been that for like 8 years, and people now are calling us the Sky Chiefs all the time. It drives me crazy. I was like, we got rid of that name. So we're a choo-choo train. We're trying to get everybody on board, and people are getting on board. And this is a very, very important year for the Syracuse Chiefs. We've got to make it. And the board of directors is committed to doing it. The Chiefs First organization is committed to doing it. But at the end of the day, for the Syracuse Chiefs, the only way to do it is to fill those seats. Because we don't have a cash cow somewhere. We don't have a George Steinbrenner somewhere giving us a ton of money. We've got to fill seats, and our job is to sell tickets. And to sell tickets, your product has to be worth it. So my job is to go out and preach from the mountaintops that we're worth $7.50 if you buy the Don Waffle coupon book, and that it's worth it, that our $5 ticket on Dollar Thursdays, which are very popular, to come in and be able to get a $1 6-to-1 natural casing Hoffman hot dog on a Fryhofer New England style bun with spicy mustard, the same exact hot dog that you can get at Hyde's. It's better at Hyde's. but it's ours is better than the domes, and ours is better than the war memorials, and it's a dollar. And people go up, and they'll be like, can I have 10 hot dogs, please? What are they going to do with 10 hot dogs? And they say, can I have 10 beers to go with that? And then we say, I'm sorry, it's a 2-beer minimum. They get a little upset. But we're committed to customer service, and we'll say that with a smile. And we'll say, sir, ma'am, you can get right back in line and get 2 more beers. And then we have to be able to manage that crowd. You know, Dollar Thursday is a big day, you know, so that's what we do. Friday nights is fireworks, no matter what. If it is, we're going to open up on hopefully a glorious 46 to 52 degree April 16th. And then Friday night at 7 o'clock at night, it's probably going to be 38 degrees, but we're having fireworks. And last year we had 6,600 people on Thursday afternoon, and we had 895 on Friday night. And that was 482 more than were there the year before. You got to go out with a microphone on the pitcher's mound in an 11,000-seat stadium at game time and see what a stadium looks like with 103 people in it. Those are the tough days. There was one of those last year. So if 103 people end up showing on a Wednesday night in late April, the guy from Pawtucket came out. He's in the dugout. He walks out to go play baseball. He's like, there's nobody here. And I was like, I heard you say that because there's nobody here. And I pointed out to a few fans that were there because when 103 people show up, Syracuse is a notoriously late arriving crowd. So there was only 20 people in the stadium by the time the game was actually starting. But that 103 people on that Wednesday night in late April became 11,212 people on the 4th of July. That 103 people on Wednesday night in April became 8,900 and some odd people for the first playoff game in 16 years and the first playoff game ever in NBT Bank, that new stadium. We had our first playoff game last year and we lost, and that's all right, but we had a great time. And I went to the league meeting at the national championship game, and they opened it up to the floor, and the guy from Pawtucket, who we played that day, they snuck in. They didn't tell me they were coming. And he said, we snuck in to check out the Chiefs, you know, because the whole league, everybody in baseball is kind of keeping their eye on the Syracuse Chiefs. And these guys have been doing it for 40 years in Pawtucket. And they said, we snuck in to check out the Chiefs and their operation. And they could say, they said in their 40 years of baseball, they have never seen a more electric, more energized, bigger crowd for an International League playoff game they saw in Syracuse last year. So it can work. It will work. We will save the Syracuse Chiefs once again, and we're going to be able to provide everything that the Syracuse Chiefs provide for this community. There's no alternative. So thank you very much. I'm going to open it up to the floor for questions. There's a lot of things I didn't touch on, and if there's anything that you want to know, I'm more than willing and free and able to answer. So go right ahead.
Thank you, Jason. Well, first, I just wanted to, offer my condolences, although you were quoted as saying we celebrate our fans.
Yeah.
And I understand you lost one of your...
We lost George Sturzer. 2 days ago.
2 days ago, yeah.
88. I love George Sturzer. George Sturzer and his sister Betty, who I think is 97, they came to the games, and they're just, in the short time that I got to meet them, they're just amazing people. And then yesterday, I get it. We lost Sam. Sam Grillo.
No. Oh, I'm so sorry. I did not know about that. Anyway, I did. There was an article in the Post Standard on Syracuse.com, and it made me weep about George and his.
Oh, wait till you hear about Sam.
Oh boy! All right, I've got my tissues and hanky, so I'm all
great
set.
Great people, you know, and Tex and Sam and those guys have devoted years and years and to the Chiefs and the community, and they're just such good people.
Mm-hmm. Walt.
One of the things that you alluded to, of course, is the attendance.
Yeah.
How to get that up there. And, of course, the playoffs that are held in Syracuse are sort of an automatic bump up in attendance.
Not necessarily.
Okay. But in any event, a lot of that has to do with the quality of the team and the relationship we have with the Washington Nationals, because that's the minor leagues and how they operate. Could you comment just a little bit about, the relationship you have with the Washington Nationals?
We have a great relationship with the Nationals. At the end of the day, everybody needs to know how minor league baseball works. We are completely beholden to the Washington Nationals. We have zero input as to what player comes to play for the Syracuse Chiefs. It's the way it's always been. It's the way it will always be. So the better the Washington Nationals are, the better the Syracuse Chiefs are. Right now, the Washington Nationals, for the last couple of years anyway, have been on paper to be going to win the World Series. And last year, they made the playoffs, and they had a great team. And that was good for the Chiefs. But at the end of the year, they were so good, they wanted to rest their guys. So they took our best guys and then did not play our guys. So our guys, Steven Sousa Jr. And Tyler Moore and Blake Treinen went up and got paid to sit on the bench. I think it'd be better for those guys to play some competitive baseball, but they don't let me run the Washington Nationals, or we'd be selling dollar hot dogs in our nation's capital. But the Washington Nationals are great, and that was a decision made by the board. We just signed up. This is our first year of a 4-year deal. Normally, you do 2-year deals. But they wanted to commit to Syracuse. We wanted to commit to a good team that had good prospects going all the way down, so eventually they have to come here. Triple A sometimes is a tricky spot. It's a little purgatory. A lot of the prospects will jump from Double A straight to the major leagues, and we'll get some of the guys maybe on their way up, sometimes on the way down. It's a mishmash. Last year we ended up with a great team. This year, because the Washington Nationals have 5 solid starting pitchers, there's no place for A.J. Cole to go. There's no place for Taylor Hill to go. There's no place for Taylor. I wish there was no place for Jordan Zimmerman to go. There's no place for Taylor Jordan to go. So we have 3 great starting pitchers that are going to come and start the season for the Syracuse Chiefs. And unless one of those guys gets hurt, they're going to stay with us. So we have an interesting team this year. We've got Manny Burris back on the infield. And he was a fantastic all-star last year. We've got 2 new catchers, Dan Butler and Steve LaRue. Dan Butler is a great catcher from the Red Sox. He just doesn't have anywhere to go. We're going to have Lenny Dykstra's son, Cutter Dykstra, playing second base for us. His wife is Jamie Lynn Sigler, who was Meadow Soprano on The Sopranos. If anybody has a really nice house that you want to rent to and get a signed autographed DVD box set of The Sopranos, they're looking for a place for them and their family to live. We're going to have Rafael Martin in the bullpen, and he was a great pitcher for us in the bullpen last year. I just met the clubby. Hey, George Kilpatrick. I just met the clubby last night. He drove in from Washington. He got in about 9 o'clock, and he said he likes the team. He says they are a cast of characters. He knows all these guys. He was the clubby for 5 years in Potomac, so he knows most of the guys. He said he likes the team, and the team – at the end of the day, all these teams have talent, and it gets, last year the bond in the clubhouse, that chemistry that they talk about, we had it last year, and all the guys were great. All the guys were on board. They wanted to wear their onboard T-shirts. They love Suspect. They love the whole thing, and he says that these guys are on board, and we should have a good team here in Syracuse. Off of that, my philosophy is that we always have to build our business plan for the Syracuse Chiefs to be in last place and for it to rain every day, because we can't count on a winner. When we get a winner, that should be a little bit of gravy for us. I mean, last year, I walk up during the games. I talk to all the fans. I go up and say hello to this person and that person. And I was up in the general admission seats talking to some guys, and they're sitting there. Beautiful day. Great seat for only $5. I said, you know what you need here? I was like, what do we need here? You need a winner. I said, you do know we're 17 games over 500 and in first place, and some people are saying that this current team is the greatest minor league team in the history of minor league baseball. Yeah, but you need a real winner. I said, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. I got to go. So, you know, it's all beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That baseball, as much as I do the glitz and the running of the bases and the shooting of hot dogs and the cowboys, monkeys riding dogs, the end of the day, our product is baseball. And baseball is awesome. It's a great game. Now we're going to have a shot clock now in baseball because baseball takes too long. They want baseball games to be 2 hours and 45 minutes. The average Syracuse Chiefs baseball game last year before the shot clock was 2 hours and 50 minutes. An NFL football game is 3 hours, and somehow our game is too long. So we're going to have shot clocks put in this year, which I guarantee is going to make the game longer. Baseball's not built for a shot clock. And when you watch that game, it's not like the NFL. It's not like hockey. You get everybody up roaring and screaming and hooting and hollering and doing all that stuff. And then, whoosh, first pitch, into a baseball game. It has to build to a crescendo. And I remember last year, one time, it was late in the game. It was about midway through the season. Brian Goodwin was on first base. The Chiefs were losing. He got on there. We got to get him to second base. If we have any chance to win this game, we've got to get Brian Goodwin to second base. Everybody in the ballpark, in both dugouts, and most people in the ballpark knew that Brian Goodwin had to get second base. So the pitcher kept throwing over to first base because the pitcher says, I can't let him get to second base. He must have thrown over to first base 15 times. Half the stands is going crazy saying, would you just throw a pitch? The other half of the stands are like, is he going to steal that base? So 15 pitches in, he makes his move. He goes to steal the base. He gets thrown out. He doesn't steal the base. The Chiefs lose. Don Waffle came into my office. He says, that was a great baseball game. And it was a great baseball game because that guy had to do his job and the other guy outperformed him. And they have to perform at that peak performance. And he hurt himself. And he's going to start this year on the injured reserve. And when he gets healthy, he's going to come back. So hopefully Brian Goodwin will be trying to steal that same base in July in Syracuse Chiefs as we're trying to win another game. So it's the small nuances of that baseball stuff. But the Nats are great, and we should have a good team this year.
You're such a good storyteller, I forgot what question I was going to ask. thank you for making me laugh. That's a good way to start the day. It's like a workout. I was going to ask you, does your staff get that great sense of humor, and what is your message to them, and how do you help them get the outcome that you want for the team?
It's a great question. I have a great staff. We do it a little bit with smoke and mirrors, and so we have the smallest staff in all of International League. There are teams in our league that have more people working in their ticket office than we have in our entire staff. So we multitask. Our staff is Kathleen McCormick, who's never worked in baseball before, and Julie Cardinale, and they are bulldogs. Julie Cardinale is literally a bulldog. And Kathleen McCormick is just a smart, wonderful person that she just gets it. And we have a kid, young kids, Jeff Irizarry does our community relations and social media. And I don't have to ask him to be in the office before me. Or when I'm usually the last one there and Jeff is going to warm my car up in the middle of the winter, he just sticks in there. We work 12, 15, 16-hour days, sometimes 18 days in a row. They get it. They want to succeed. You know, we're not in this for the billions of dollars that the Syracuse Chiefs are doing it. At the end of the day, you're going to know. You know, everything goes back to a story, and it goes back to 1993 in Watertown, New York. And I was an intern for the Watertown Indians. My friend Eric Valentine, the Valentino, he lives here in Syracuse. He's a very successful medical device salesman because we did a season. And Dynamite Lady blew herself up on home plate. She walked around. Her whole act was to wear a Evel Knievel-type leather red, white, and blue uniform. At the end of the game, she walks out, puts herself in a styrofoam box, and blows herself up with four sticks of dynamite. the whole stadium shakes. She gets up and she goes and she gives high fives. Give her a couple $1,000, done and done. Everybody's laughing. And I said, who's going to pick up all that styrofoam? And they're like, you're going to pick up all that styrofoam. And at the end of the night, back in the day, my boss, Jack Trott, says, your job is to go out and shake everybody's hand when they're leaving. So that was my job. So I go out and I shake everybody's hand and thank them for coming. It's what I still do to this day. And to see the smiles on everybody's faces and you see the little kids that come out and they're just smiling and they're with their parents. And you meet those great guys like George Sturzer. That's why we do it. You know, that's why anybody does it in sport for the most part. Our job is to make memories and build smiles. And you see this little Tony. He comes to the ballpark. He gets it. I give him an over-under every day. How many foul balls is little Tony going to get? The over-under is always 7, and he always comes out with 9 to 14 foul balls. He's got to have a box this big of baseballs at his house because he does it every night. But I love little Tony, and that's why we do it. And I get all the accolades. I'm on the commercials. I'm out there, and they say, Jason, you do a great job. I'm just here for looks. Those guys do it. You know, so my ticket guys will be hurrying up to bring Dirk his season tickets with a customer service smile. The concession workers are up there. Our security guards, we just got done with 2 days of customer service training because that's what we can control. We can't control the weather. We can't control the team. We can control if we say welcome to NBT Bank Stadium. We can control if we say thank you for coming to the Chiefs. Have a great day. We appreciate you coming. Come back again sometime. How can we help? And it's pretty easy over at the Chiefs. You're either on board or you're not on board. And my staff is on board. And I get back to the end of the story. Eric Valentine, at the end of our internship with the Watertown Indians, he said, that job is for suckers. He's like, I am not going to work 18 hours a day for 8 days a week and not get paid. Eric Valentine is one of the smartest people on the planet because he made his decision. He has a wonderful little family. He has a great little job, and he'll be there for opening day. And he'll give me a big old hug, and we'll just laugh and laugh and laugh. I'm not that bright. I like it. Good. But they're great. I love my staff, and we couldn't do it. I'm amazed at what they do, what Anthony does on that video board. We have the biggest video board in Central New York, and we have the same system that they use in the Dome. And they have 40 people in the Dome doing what Anthony does with 4 people. And he does it 72 games in a row. And I think he does a better job. Why they haven't offered him more money and stolen from me, I better stop saying that because they'll probably do it one of these days. Then I'll be in trouble. But he's fantastic. And I unleashed him. I just let my staff do what they have to do. I know that they know what to do. I said, Anthony, do whatever you want on that video board, you know, short of swearing and putting naked people up there. But you're unleashed to do whatever you think is funny and whatever you think people like. And he does it, and he's the best. You know, so at the end of the day, if we always think about what's good for the fans, we're going to be okay.
I went to a Friday night game last year. I'm not sure when. It must have been early-ish in the season. And I was expecting, okay, there are going to be fireworks, but, you know, they do them every Friday night. How good can they be? And the game ended, and people started leaving, and I thought, oh, they must know something. But we stayed for the fireworks. They were fantastic. So I was absolutely impressed.
This year with the Syracuse Chiefs. Paid for a survey back in the day before I got there that said if you have more fireworks, more people will come. Attendance increases with fireworks. So after they paid for that survey, they had less fireworks. I'm kind of a super genius. I was told back in the day that there's a reason that there's Firework Fridays at every minor league baseball team. But some guy last year, so we're having fireworks every Friday. And it was a little bit better. You know, we had 895 people versus 495 people. But later on in the season, you know, we got to get through. Even Tex told me that. You got to get through April and May. And you got to, you know, April, I used to tell the guys when I worked in short season baseball, you guys are suckers. You got to, you know, short season baseball is where it's at. Long season, April, May, it's too cold. So we got to make our bread and butter when the kids get out of school and families have their summers. But a man came into my office. He said, and he was an elderly guy that ran baseball teams for a long time. And he said, we found that if you have fireworks on Saturdays, there's more attendance than on Fridays because people get done with work and it's hard to make their decisions. And Saturday, they can make their plans. We did better on Saturdays. I didn't listen to him. Kathleen McCormick went to a promotional seminar, and a guy came up with a whole PowerPoint presentation of analytics of attendance in baseball. And he said that more people come when there's fireworks on Saturdays than when they're on Fridays. And we had already announced our Friday night fireworks. So I said, Kathleen, let's just have fireworks on Saturdays. And she said, as long as you can sell them, because it's got to be sponsored by somebody to bring those fireworks. And then that's how the whole business works. So Kathleen said, I can sell them. And this year we're going to have fireworks every Saturday starting in June. So it's Super Saturdays with fireworks and giveaways and signatures and entertainment acts. And to make it worthwhile. And on Fridays, it's happy hour. We're going to open the gates early. We're going to have live music every Friday on the concourse. Fans can watch batting practice, hear some live music, get some discounts on drinks, and just make it into a nice place that you want to mingle around with your friends. And by the way, there's an awesome baseball game going on. And we're going to have a wine bar this year, ladies.
Whoa. Whoa.
Does anybody in this room know what charcuterie is? It's apparently a fancy word for a meat and cheese plate. We're going to call it Chief's Cootery. And I told him to put Krogan bologna on it. It's going to be sweet. Yes, Russ.
Hang on a second, Russ. Hang on. I did not see your hand. I'm sorry.
Can you talk a little bit about the process of the Star Spangled Banner and the people that sing it?
Yes. We need to do a better job. Well, the process is you go to community, our website, community, and you tap on, I want to sing it. You got to come and do an audition. A lot of times we have been recommended singers that haven't been so awesome. So we try to vet them and make them do an audition. We like them to do an audition in the stadium with our microphone because there's the delay at the stadium just blows their mind. So what we're doing right now, and I heard 93Q this morning, Ted and Amy, we are having an audition for the opening day National Anthem Act singer. So they're going to submit YouTube videos to the Chiefs and 93Q. Next Saturday, the 11th, we're going to have a Spring Fest open house, and those people are going to come down and do a live audition, and we're going to have the panel of judges to see which one's going to get to sing on opening day. And I'm sure they're all going to be great, so we'll just pick other days for the other ones to sing. But that contest is going on. But if anybody wants to sing the national anthem, you can call us or go to the website. Jeff from the community relations takes care of that. Jeff Irizarry.
Thank you. Russ, do you sing?
And Russ sits next to David Okun. And David Okun will tell you about the playoffs. Nobody comes to the playoffs in the International League. Getting back to, you know, thinking that that's a big boom. And he said, last year he says, you know, historically, Syracuse does better than the other teams in the league as a percentage on the playoff games. And I said, Russ, or David, we haven't been in the playoffs in 16 years. So I don't know how you can make that correlation. But he says, you know, all these other teams, the Pawtuckets, the Buffaloes, the Indianapolises, you know, Pawtucket averages 7,000 or 8,000 people a game. They make the playoffs, there's 2,000 people there. You know, so we average 2,000 people a game, and we had 8,000 people for the playoffs. So is Syracuse just an event town? I don't know what it is, but hopefully we make the playoffs again. This year I put it in the pocket schedule. There's pocket schedules over there. There's group outing pamphlets over there. There's Hank's Sour Room rental information over there for birthday parties, for family little picnics. We have the Hank's Sour Room. We got our luxury suites. It's a deal. It's a bargain. And it's a unique atmosphere to go out and just have a little party over at the ballpark. So I put the playoffs in there this year because I think we should make those again this year.
So I'm interested to hear that you're doing the Friday night happy hour and the wine and
yep.
cheese, whatever. It sounds like a brilliant idea. The ballpark is where it is. We're not going to talk about why it's not someplace else.
We're not moving it.
No, we're not moving it. However, is there anything on your wish list that is outside your territory, outside your purview, that you would wish for the area around you that might that you might think would enhance your attendance in any given demographic?
There's so many things, but, you know, I'm kind of the guy, you know, it is where it is. We are where we are. We make the best of it. There happens to be a mall right next door that apparently gets 26 million people a year. Saturday mornings when I go get my cheese curd and my fresh vegetables at the farmer's market, there's 20 to 40,000 people that go through the farmer's market. There's a train station right there. There's a hospital up the road. We've got a huge parking lot and three roads to get into it. I love where we are. You know, again, if our product is good enough, people will come to it. Would I like a nice light rail thing to go all around the city and bring everybody from downtown and the university to the mall and over to our ballpark and back down to Armory Square? I think it'd be great. It's never going to happen. Heck, we just got the bus service back. You guys bring in a bunch of heavy hitters, a bunch of people with a ton of money, the Chiefs and Centro. You guys, you get it for good speakers. But Centro, thank God, got their money. We got a call yesterday. We got two season tickets because they take the bus to the stadium. So they were waiting to hear on the Centro news before they bought their season tickets. So is there things that we can do to improve the area? Yes. And I think that those things are coming. I believe in Syracuse. I believe in our leaders. I believe in the people over at Destiny. I believe in the regional market. And I think that time will tell and the decisions will get made and it'll overall, you know, get there will be improvement. And that stadium is going to stay there. The county is on board. They were pretty upfront with us, and they said, we'd like you to pay the rent. So we paid the rent, and they're on board. It's amazing how that stuff works. So we're clean and current with everybody. And now the legislature has a proposal out there, and they voted unanimously to do some revenue-generating work at the stadium to make sure that we're always going to be able to pay the rent. And that process is going through right now. There'll be some improvements to the stadium at the Hank Sauer Room. We're going to get rid of seats. We don't need 11,212 seats. We're going to get rid of some seats and bring some more group areas in because we're a very attractive place to bring a group. There's not a lot of opportunities out there. I mean, you can go to restaurants and you can come to here. Drummond's a fantastic place, but there's not a lot of places that you can go and have 300 people outside and have a baseball game and all that. All that comes with that at that affordable thing for companies. So we're going through that process, and we'll be able to make some announcements this summer as to what's going to happen out there. So things are happening. And there's committees devoted to beautifying the area, you know, getting everybody together. I've been at meetings with the regional market and the mall and ourselves and the city and the county to try to just spruce it up a little bit. So I think, of course, it's going to take time. But we'll get done, and the north side's, you know, downtown's coming uptown. So it's just going to keep spreading towards us, and we'll just be there with open arms waiting for you to come in and have a great time.
Hi. I don't know how old your kids are, but I had the pleasure of going last year to a baseball game with my five-year-old. And let me tell you, she's an economic engine for the Syracuse Chiefs. She has a pretty short attention span, and she eats a lot, and she likes all the food you have. And she also really enjoyed the activity area for the kids. But the downside there, for us at least, and maybe things have changed since then, was that you can't actually see the game so well when you're playing in the activity stuff. So, you know, everybody else is having a good time and you're just sitting there. So I wonder, when you do your expanding and stuff, do you have some plans for making that a little more like multi-purpose as far as watching the game
Yes.
and playing?
Yes. I think it's a great question. I spend a ton of money at the game on my kids because the only time they get to see me is when they come there. And so I'd much rather, apparently, unfortunately, there's child labor laws and I can't make them work. They're 10 and 11. But... So they just eat popcorn, and now my 10-year-old has turned into a vegetarian 2 months ago. So she asked me a couple days ago, Daddy, what are the vegetarian options at the stadium this year? I was like, well, there's peanuts and popcorn. charcuterie, pretzels, things of that nature. No, but part of it, again, as great as that stadium is, there's some tweaks that could be done to it. Nobody builds 11, 12,000 seat stadiums anymore. Charlotte had 600,000 people come to their baseball games last year in a city of 2.4 million people. They were in last place, and they were horrible. And they had a brand new stadium downtown that seats 8,000 people. And it is a small, quaint, wraparound little thing. You can walk all over the place. They've got a party area for 1,000 people in the outfield, and their family fun zone is behind a wall so that nobody can get hit, but mom and dad could be over here and watching the game. Toledo, Indianapolis, all these stadiums that were built after Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse. Rochester's very nice, but Buffalo's trying to get rid of seats and build party areas and all that jazz. So we, you know, to build a wraparound would be awesome. That's not going to happen. So we're trying to get an elevated deck built out there so that the Family Fun Zone can be there. It's free, courtesy of our friends at Driver's Village. And then the families will be able to step up, hopefully on a little tiki bar, and you can watch your kids and watch the game. And we put a net up last year so you don't have to get hit in the head or the chest with a baseball while you're watching your kid. Apparently some doctor a couple of years ago took one right in the chest. I was like, why don't we put a net up there? I was like, that's a great idea. So the county helped us. We put a net up there. So yes, there are plans to do that. But this year you're going to have to hop up one more time. You'll have to look through there.
That's great. Jason Smorrow, we will see you at the ball game. Thank you so much.
Thank you all very much.